You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickard. It's time for our weekly state news roundup. Noah Ofshinsky is in the house, as he always is at this time. Noah is the assistant news director here at WPR. Noah, welcome back.
It is good to be here. Good afternoon and happy Friday.
Happy Friday. I second that. Well, so primaries this week here in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And while there wasn't a whole lot of drama, there was a little bit of drama going on in the 6th congressional district in the Republican field. What's happening there?
Yeah, indeed. This was, in fact, one of the high profile cases or races that we were following. And it turned out to be even more so because of the result. State Senator Glenn Grothman, unofficially, eked out a very narrow victory against Joe Lybum. Grothman is currently up by around 214 votes in this race. And just as a reminder, this is the race to replace retiring Congressman Tom Petri.
All right. And so we've got this 214 vote margin right now. I'm guessing recount.
Yeah. So a few things need to happen before we actually say a recount's going to happen. Absentee ballots are still coming in. So the vote totals could change. And if there is a recount, and there very well might be, that too could change the numbers in this race. So, you know, we'll have to see what happens, going into next week when the counties themselves within that district finish their canvassing. And once those numbers are in, then the candidate who loses can then, ask for a recount.
So let's say we go the recount route, as it looks as though we may. How long would that take?
You know what? That's unclear. And, it certainly depends on the race. Any number of things can happen between now and then. The 6th district is a pretty conservative district. So if Glenn Grothman, were to succeed in the election, or Joe Lybum, for that matter, whoever wins this Republican primary has a pretty good shot at going to Washington. The Democratic challenger, Mark Harris, is the Winnebago County executive. But given the political makeup of that district, highly unlikely that he would win.
So you're thinking the winner of the Republican primary goes to Washington?
Yes, I think there's a good chance. Of course,
you're not a betting man.
I wouldn't say it's 100%, but I'd say it's a pretty good chance.
Okay, coming from you. All right.
You heard it here.
I think that's a first.
You heard it here first.
All right. Well, let's move to another race that was hotly contested amongst the Democrats, the attorney general race. What's the story under this race?
Right. So this was one of the other high profile races that we were following. And Susan Happ, who is the Jefferson County district attorney, handily won the Democratic primary. She beat State Representative John Richards of Milwaukee, as well as the Dane County district attorney. So there were three candidates in that race that we were all watching.
And one of the stories out of this race is the number of crossover votes that apparently she got.
It's interesting because, she's a candidate that, frankly, did not have a lot of name recognition going into it. But she got quite a few votes actually going into this race. She'll be facing Waukesha County District Attorney Brad Schimmel in November. And so it'll be interesting to see where this race goes in November. I think certainly it'll be an interesting one.
She has been outspoken on her desire to keep politics out of it. How has that played out in the race?
Well, it's interesting. You're right. That is sort of one of her major campaign themes. That said, she is on the record as being against voter ID, which is currently being litigated, and also against the gay marriage ban. Two cases that the current attorney general, has weighed in on. So, despite claims to the contrary, politics are ever present in this race.
What would you say propelled her to victory?
You know what? That's a good question. And I'm not sure. I don't have an answer. I haven't seen a lot of reporting, that suggests one thing or another. She did have one ad in which featured her driving a Harley. Maybe
maybe it's the Harley.
Yeah, maybe it's the Harley. I don't know at this point. But to be sure, this is going to be an interesting race going into November.
Okay, let's look at another one. This is one that drew some national attention. The Milwaukee sheriff's race.
Right. So this was an interesting one. The incumbent sheriff David Clark won the Democratic primary, which virtually ensures he'll be able to stay in office. There's a little known independent who's running in the general election, so this likely means that he will be in his position again next year. So it's an interesting race for a few reasons. One is apparently quite a few Republicans crossed over and voted in the Democratic primary in Milwaukee, and that helps. That really helps explain why he won. He's quite conservative for a Democrat in many areas. In addition to having a very confrontational relationship with key Democrats in Milwaukee, the mayor, for one, as well as the Milwaukee County executive, David Clark is not a huge fan of gun control. And indeed, the NRA, of all organizations, typically not an organization you think of when you think a Democratic primary, the NRA gave his campaign some money as well as grassroots support.
Interesting also because Mayor Bloomberg got involved in this one, tried to swing the race toward a pro-gun control candidate, and it didn't work. But that was some interesting involvement there from an outside national party.
Exactly. So like on the other side, we've got a political action committee, as you say, of former New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg weighing in and bringing that national money into, what amounts to a local sheriff's race. So a really interesting dynamic there. And in fact, perhaps more awkwardly, a committee which receives funds by Milwaukee County Executive Chris Abele, also spent money to defeat Clark. So sort of an awkward situation there. They traditionally don't have the best relationship in the world. So not surprising, but certainly a bit awkward.
So what comes next for Clark?
As I said, he's basically a shoe-in to keep his office. So he's got that going on. Also, he indicated this week that he may, in fact, run for Milwaukee mayor in 2016. So he didn't commit to it, but he said it's something that he may do.
It's out there on the table.
Yeah.
Does this make for uncomfortable bedfellows, given the situation, the political dynamics that you just described? What's it going to be like?
It was uncomfortable before, and it will remain so in the coming months.
Okay, well, that's an interesting one. We'll see what happens there. And hunters in the state are looking at some big changes. What are we seeing with crossbows?
So, yeah, the DNR board voted this week to expand the crossbow hunting to really every eligible hunter in the state. In previous years, only people with disabilities or those over 65 could use a crossbow. And so, actually, this is really a big change to the hunting culture here in the state.
Yeah, why did supporters want this?
Right. This is actually kind of a controversial decision. Supporters wanted this because it allows hunters who may not have qualified for that disability exemption before, but still weren't healthy enough to use a bow, to continue hunting. So this change could, in theory, mean that hunters who may have quit the sport at some point because of health reasons may be able to stay in it or even pick it up again because they can use crossbows, which physically are a little less demanding than traditional bow hunting.
Now, I don't know if this is in your wheelhouse or not, but I understand what a traditional bow hunter is. What that is like, what is the crossbow and what makes it different from the bow hunting?
Well, the crossbow does a bit more of the work for the hunter. For people who are older, they may have shoulder problems and it's harder to draw back the bow. So it's more difficult to get it in a position where you can effectively hunt if you have problems with your elbows or your shoulders and those kinds of things. And if you use a crossbow, that sort of takes that out of the equation.
And critics, I imagine, are not happy about this. What do critics say about what's happening with crossbows?
Yeah, and there are many, and a lot of them come from the traditional bow hunting tradition. And they fear, that many things. But one is that, there'll be a lot more hunters now out during their season. And that means, potentially fewer deer, because there'll be more hunters out there. At least that's what they say. Some traditional bow hunters also feel that somehow, the use of crossbows will sort of taint what they do, lessen the art of bow hunting.
And when is this proposed? Well, I guess it's not proposed. When is the crossbow season?
Right. So it's going to run concurrently with the archery season. And that season runs from mid-September to late November or early December.
Does this change anything as far as safety in the woods, or is it just business as usual?
Well, I mean, I think people who use crossbows, there are different safety challenges with them. You have to handle them a bit differently than a traditional firearm or even a traditional bow. So there are some safety issues that people have to work out. But I'll have to say there's at least one winner in all of this, in addition to the people who can now hunt with crossbows, is the sports store owners. Apparently, crossbows are literally flying off the shelves as we speak. So sports store owners are making some money off of this change.
Interesting. Here it is mid-August, and the crossbows are flying off shelves.
It's never too early to think about hunting.
Apparently not.
You start thinking about hunting the minute you come out of the field after you've maybe taken that deer. You start thinking about the next season.
All right, so a big change there with the crossbow season. And we're going to check out one more story before we let you go. Unemployment rate in Wisconsin, the up slightly.
Yeah, there's a slight uptick in the state unemployment rate. It ticked up in July from 5.7% to 5.8%. And if you break down those numbers even further, it looks like there was something like 3,200 private sector jobs created in July. And according to the state, that growth came primarily in the service industry.
This is a tenth of a point up. How big a deal is this?
Well, you know, it obviously depends on where you are in the political spectrum, because the jobs issue is dominating the governor's race, and it will continue to do so. So a lot of people have their eyes on these monthly numbers. You know, Mary Burke, the Governor Walker's opponent in November, has already weighed in on these numbers. You know, she blamed Walker's policies for the increase in the unemployment rate. You know, the governor, for his part, has maintained that the state is moving in the right direction under his leadership, and that he has made the state more business friendly, which in turn will lead to greater job creation. So again, depends on where you are politically.
Right. And a lot is going to be made of these numbers as they come out, because apparently it sounds like this is what it's all about this season.
Jobs, jobs, and more jobs.
More jobs. All right, Noah, thank you so much for joining us.
It was good to be here. Thanks.
We've been speaking with Noah Ovshinsky, WPR's assistant news director. He joins us every week at this time for a look at what's making news here in Wisconsin. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.